This is our conversation with Kurt and me, Cheryl Spaulding, and we're going to have a series of conversations about unemployed and long-term unemployed people, underemployed people. We were going to start this morning talking about long-term unemployed. In Joseph's people, the vast majority of people right now, Kurt, are 50 and over, and we're doing everything we can to get them employed. And even programs like Platform to Employment, which has that whole six-week thing, they're getting to the end of that program and they're having trouble, at least in this geographic area, getting these people employed. So the question is, what does a long-term unemployed person do in the midst of all this?
I guess the question is always, what did they do before and what is their expectations for what kind of job they would like to get? Most people, I assume, would want a similar job they had before, and I don't know if they still exist. And if they exist, there is tremendous competition, and I'm sure there is prejudice against, quotes, people over 50.
Well, the law protects them, but the law has
The law protects you, but how do you prove there is prejudice? So that's difficult. And then the other question is, well, usually people are dependent on a certain income which maintains their lifestyle, and that can be another burden. So the question is also, well, do you want to take work, whatever there is? And then the problem is also, if you take something different, people are hesitant to hire you because you are overqualified.
Right.
They think you're too smart and might cause trouble, or as soon as you get something you like, you leave. So it's obviously the problem, you don't fit anywhere. And that can be, I don't know how you cope with that.
You mentioned to me something last time we met, which I thought was an interesting thing. You called it a prison and a prison cell.
Yeah, because prison is basically you are trapped in a confined area. And obviously, whenever, like I started the process, if you start looking for things, you always get barriers, and like walls. You end up in circle walking along those walls, and it feels like you're trapped in a prison. And you're tired of walking those walls, and you're looking for an exit. And what is the exit? And often the exit, the known, is no longer there, and then if there is an exit, it's the unknown. So while you continuously look at the exit and explore what's out there, how are you going to handle that? Then the other thing is, while you are in this prison, you can try to do what I usually use the word, decorate your prison. That means knowing this is the situation, you don't know if there is a way out, or which way, or whatever. I mean, not totally a prison. There is an exit. I mean, in the real prison, you are locked up for good. But internally can feel like people who live that, they know better than I do. I only speak what I learn from people who are in that situation. And the people who are long-term employed, they know exactly how it feels. And each person handles it in a different way. Then we're talking about how can you still have hope and continue, wake up in the morning and decide what kind of quality of life you're going to have. And then decorate your prison is basically widen your imagination. How can you still create a level of comfort? By comfort, that's in an internal state. You know, everybody is talking about peace of mind or...
So you're talking about the internal.
The internal, because your mind constantly is producing stuff, thinking, and if you examine where the mind takes you, all over the place and often in depressing areas. So one way is to monitor where your mind takes you and what kind of thoughts you have.
How do you come to grips with the negative thoughts?
Well, you know, recognize these are negative thoughts. Then you need to have a replacement. What are positive thoughts? And of course, if you have a faith in a higher power, it doesn't matter what religion you are, you maybe focus on that, which for thousands of years people have found comforting thoughts. I remember when our family was in distress, they always had hung up that psalm, David's psalm, "You are my shepherd." Then I know AA has a lot of affirmations when you wake up, which calms the mind down, or a level of contentment, or say, well, what, or being grateful, what do you have?
That leads me to say, you're saying that the morning is very important. You're right. When you start your day out,
and of course, if you are fortunate to sleep,
that's a different subject.
If you sleep, you are out of it, and then you wake up, and then you say, "Well, here's the morning. What's today?" And then, of course, you are habitually, we usually have thoughts and whatever your mind brings, and each person has a different type of mind, what it brings. So you got to examine that. That's where you have some choices. What happens internal life, there you have choices. You are, in terms of job, is basically, you know, earning a living, feeding yourself and pay the bills.
And that's all externally controlled by things.
Well, that is externally controlled. You know, and then you can always think back, I should have done this, should have done this, and then usually what you should have past is past. You cannot rewrite the past. The future is unknown. The here and now is what's presented.
Joan McRae, who started this organization, and this isn't her. I knew she got this from someplace,
but
I don't know where it comes from. And she said, "The future is a mystery. The past is history. You have today." That's why they call it a blessing.
Yeah. Well, can you see it as a blessing? I mean, if you then think, I mean, that is very difficult to do. Our mind doesn't like that. Our mind lives in the past and in the future.
Really?
Yeah, it hates to be in the here and now.
Why?
I don't know.
Wow. I wonder why.
It's just it's the nature of it.
Huh. I've never thought about that before.
Well, that's just an observation from so many people I've met. And if you examine these yourself, where does your mind take you?
You're right. It takes you to the past. It takes you to the future, but not necessarily to now.
Well, the question is, if the now, it's a blessing. Well, what are you blessed? Well, of giving all this time and not know what to do. That can be a blessing if you have some little activity. And then again, what we are conditioned.
I actually misstated that. She calls it the present. You've been given the present.
Oh, the present.
The present. I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
Given the present.
You have a present.
That's what I'm saying. But if you can see it as a blessing, that a blessing is always a positive.
Yes. But the present may not be the positive if you don't look
well,
at it.
Well, again, there, in everything there's a minus and a plus. And if we can see a benefit in it, of course that lifts us up. And, you know, there are many stories. A famous story I remember, I was somewhere at a meeting, was there was a farmer who had a son, and his son got injured in the field. And after he injured, they said, well, this is a terrible thing, because now he is useless of planting the field and, you know, doing the farm work. And then a week later, the king's people came to recruiting young people for the wars. And of course, this guy was not fit to go in the war.
Right.
So he was prevented to go to the war, and then maybe after 6 months he recovered and could help on the farm. So at that moment when it happens, it was a tragedy. But, you know, we never know. So don't make a judgment right away. And that's usually often helpful.
To wait and see.
To kind of wait and see. Again, the question is what choices I have. That's not easy. I mean, these are all difficult paths.
We've had people in Joseph's people lost their job and it forced them into a different career completely, who later say it was the best thing that ever happened to them.
Yeah.
Because they would have continued in the career that they weren't necessarily happy in.
The only thing I can say at, you know, my age, you know, 75, it's helpful if you have faith in a higher power and there is a larger scheme. And when you are in it, you do not know what the larger scheme is unless you are capable of knowing God's will, which some saints were able to do or whatever. And
that's why they're saints.
Well,
great.
I would say, you know, surrender it. Well, here is my situation. I don't know. I do the best I can. And what do I have to do? And I don't know. Sometimes you're pushed into a situation you would not want to do. And then another good thing is if you see life as, oh, I just learn some experiences. I'm getting existential. Because at the end, if the large scheme is, we have a beginning and we have an end. What are we supposed to do in the middle? Become famous, earn a lot of money. At the end, you might have a bigger gravestone with the crow's poop on it.
And you don't get to take the money with you no
matter
what.
I would say we came with nothing, we go with nothing.
Right.
Well, materially. And then, of course, the people who remember us say, well, he was a nice guy or not a nice guy. And if we have money, we, you know, they fight over what we leave behind. So if you think there are some non-material values which are with you all the time.
And that's hard in this country, I think. People, everything is judged by the money.
I would say in this country there at least is the opportunity to make some money. Mm-hmm. In other countries, they always wish to have money and they never succeed and they're still preoccupied. Even a beggar could be preoccupied with money all the time. Mm,
that's true. That's true. And he has nothing. I get it.
So it's all, again, what you think. And then I would say if you have money, I mean, it's a blessing. What do you do with it? Could be an obsession making more, or you are blessed and you want to share it. And, you know, it's good to have rich people if they're willing to share it, and because they were, I don't know, they had a gift to make it. So those are all things which you can't quite pin down. So there are a lot of things you can't, it's kind of in limbo, and there's no easy answer. That's the problem. We want answers right away. And then if we have no answer and we are born with impatience, you know, it drives us crazy.
I think we are born with impatience.
Well, again, then the question is, well, is always another virtue. Without patience, nothing can be revealed to you. Opposite of patience is hastiness, and hastiness leads us to fast judgment. So the long-term unemployed, obviously I have never had the misfortune of being long-term unemployed. I was long-term employed.
Right. But you met a lot of long-term unemployed.
Yeah, but I met a lot, and I learned from them, and the people who I'm speaking to, they're the experts. They know how it is and how it feels, and you could become bitter and angry and resentful, and of course it's not a tonic for your good nerves.
No.
And of course, you know, you chose to speak, you have provide certain resources, and if the employment picture increases, in other words, employers are looking for people, of course, then that
will be better.
That will be good.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you.